Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord, this morning. And Father, we're looking with great anticipation for you to come and speak to us this morning, dear God. Lord, to bring, Father, encouragement and strengthen our faith, dear God. And Lord, to bring our walk closer to you, Father. And our Lord, I pray, Father, that you will come down, Lord, and bless your people today, Lord, Father, with your power, Lord, and your presence, dear God. I pray, Lord, that your anointing will be upon us, Lord God, to preach the word, dear God, you've laid on our heart, dear God, and testify of you, Father. We ask, Lord, that you would, Father, be with those that are not able to be here this morning, dear God. Some, Father, are out of town, and some, Father, are homesick. Lord, I pray that you would touch them, Father. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. I'm going to pick up from where we left off last Sunday. And preaching on, still ministering, I guess, under the title of Overcoming. Verse 26 of Exodus 15. And I said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. You may be seated. The Hebrew for that, the Lord that healeth thee, is Jehovah Rapha. We know that the scripture tells us that by his stripes we were healed. Not going to be, but it's a past tense thing. It's because once God's word has said it, then it will come to pass. There is nothing that will prevent it from coming to pass. Amen. The Bible tells us he's the high priest of our profession. Our profession is our testimony. And it tells us in the book of Hebrews to hold fast our profession. Hold fast our testimony. Hold to it. No matter what the circumstances seem, no matter how things are looking, no matter how you feel, you still hold to that testimony. It doesn't matter. You don't have to feel well to testify that you're healed. You don't testify on how you feel. You testify on what's real, and what's real is God's word. How you feel is not real, because the devil can impersonate things. The devil can take and work through your mind and make you think that you feel this way, or you feel that way, or this is happening to you, or you're sick with this, or you're sick with that. But that's not real. That's the devil trying to work on your mind. Remember, that's what he chose for the battleground, was your mind. And so he attacks you there. And so his attacks, friends, listen, the devil is real, but what he's telling you is not real. If he's telling you something contrary to God's word, God's word's real. What the devil's saying is not real. And God's word will prove that it's real, because it will bring it to pass. Whatsoever you testify, God will bring that to pass. Why? Because you're speaking his word. And as you say his word, he brings his word to pass in your life. And so that's why you hold fast to it. Stay with it. Stand upon it. Brother Branham said, talking about Mary, he said when she was told by the angel that she was going to have a baby, said she went testifying and telling people she was going to have a baby before there was any sign of anything. Don't wait for a sign. Don't wait for an emotion. Don't wait for, you know, if you're sick with something, don't wait and say, well, now I feel better, so now I know I'm healed. You know, that's not how you know you're healed. You know you're healed because God said, that by his stripes ye are healed. You know you're healed because he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord thy God that healeth all thy diseases. Amen. The devil has no power over God's word. Amen. Brother Branham said about Mary, said she had the word of God and that was good enough. That's good enough for me this afternoon. If he's Jehovah Rapha, the healer, if he promised to heal me, I'll take him at his word. If he promised me the Holy Ghost was to me, I'll stay there till it comes. That's all. That's right. He promised it. Stay with it. Hold fast. Amen. Just take him at his word and stay right there. That's the only way to do it. Amen. You know, Brother Ram said, the trouble of it is people get saved today and they think, well, maybe I better keep still. My neighbor don't believe this. And you can't said, well, I'm afraid to testify of healing, afraid the doctor won't like it. Amen. Brother, if you got healed, you'll testify about it. Don't hold it. Tell it. Tell it out to somebody. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and your testimony. That's how you overcome. Friends, you overcome by holding fast to your testimony. In the face of all opposition, in the face of all situations, in the face of how things appear. Amen. And friends, look, the devil will have you feel something, or he'll have something there that he's trying to make you think that's real. But what's real is God's word. And so you hold fast to that. You overcome by holding fast to your testimony. Amen. And remember what I said last Sunday, when I brought out the example of how that Brother Branham, when they were there in Houston, and remember that man, Mr. Best, who had challenged him. And Brother Bosworth took the challenge. And we went over that last Sunday. But Brother Branham said, when he came up there, he said, if what I say is true, if what I'm testifying of is true, then God will come down and testify of me that it's true. And you know, then what happened was, then that picture that was taken, and there was the pillar of fire over Brother Branham, the prophet's head. What was it? It was God testifying that what his prophet said was true. If you will testify, God will testify. Amen. He said that he would testify. Amen. And now turn with me to Psalms 23. Psalms 23, we're all familiar with it. David writes, the Lord is my shepherd. The Hebrew for that is Jehovah Raha. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, what does that mean, I shall not want? It means because he's Jehovah Raha, he's going to take care of you. That's why you're not going to want for anything. It's not saying that I'm going to take control so that I won't want. No, he has taken care of you so there will be no want. You'll have no want of anything. You won't have want of healing. Why? Because he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord thy God, that healeth all thy diseases. You won't have any want in this world. Amen. As David said, I was once old. Young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Amen. God takes care of his children. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Amen. How wonderful it is to have God restore your soul in the midst of battle, when the devil is coming against you and beating you down left and right, and just the constant pressure upon you. How great it is to have the Lord bring restoration to your soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Friends, that's what Satan tries to work on, is to bring fear. He works through fear. He tries to make that, he uses fear to try to make you doubt. He tries to make you doubt your testimony. He tries to make you doubt what you've said. He tries to make you doubt it. Amen. And he does it by fear, bringing fear. But I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. Have you ever been going through something and you're struggling and you're battling and you feel so alone? He's still there. God is still there. He has not left you. You just keep standing on his word. Amen. God will actually let the situation arise where you'll have to stand there in the face of the battle and still stand on his word. Amen. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sometimes, Brother Branham said, God has to let us break down just a little bit in our health to give us a little extra attention, to get us on his lap, to woo us up in his bosom. When the doctor says nothing can be done, then he takes us in his bosom and says, see, I love you. I'm going to let you get well. Oh, doesn't that just make life a little better? Hallelujah. Having that confidence that God, that he does care, that he is Jehovah Raha. He is our shepherd, amen. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord that healeth us, amen. And friends, that's his word. He's the one that comes and proves it. You don't have to prove his word. All you got to do is stand on his word. It's not your word. It's not my word. It's God's word. And God stands behind it. And God comes and proves it. Amen. He says, isn't he a marvelous shepherd? No wonder David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul and anoints us in the presence of the enemy. Did you ever get anointed in the presence of your enemy just to testify? Just how marvelous it is to be anointed in the presence of your enemy. Our enemy is Satan. And God comes and he anoints us in the presence of Satan to testify of his word anyway. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. When you come under the anointing of God, it's easy to testify. It's when the anointing doesn't seem to be there. And you've got to walk through life. And you've got to face the next day. You know, many times you feel so victorious after the service on Sunday. And then you go forth and Monday hits you. And then all of a sudden you're not feeling so victorious. You're not feeling anointed. But yet you're in the battle. Amen. And that's when you got to hold fast to your profession. That's when you got to hold fast to your testimony. That's your weapon. Stand on God's word. Amen. Brother Branham says, they overcome by the word of the Lord and their testimony. You see, you've got to overcome something. You've got to have obstacles. It's a trial. If you haven't got that, then you're not even in the battle. You've got to have trials. Friends, look, we're in a battle. You know, look, we get anointed on Sunday, but that doesn't remove us from the battle that we're going to face this coming week. All that does is we're supposed to draw strength and faith from the word of God to face the battlefront come the next day, the next week. And what do you face it with? The word of God. Amen. The word of God will defeat Satan anywhere, anytime, under any circumstances. Amen. First Peter, it says, the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried in the fire. See, the trial of your faith. Amen. You know, your faith will be tried. In other words, you'll go through things to see, are you going to hold fast to your testimony? And Satan will try to bring things and make them seem real to try to shake you from your testimony, to try to get you to back down, to try to get you to lose ground, give up ground, to retreat from what you've testified. But don't retreat from what you testified, no matter how you feel physically, no matter how you feel mentally. You don't back up or give up ground on what you've testified. Praise God. You begin to give up ground, then you're losing the battle. If you go back on what you've testified, then you're losing the battle. We're in a battle and we've got to overcome. Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Amen. You're going to face fiery trials. Anytime you testify, anytime you make a stand on God's word, you're going to be tried over it. Amen. Brother Branham says in the Message of Witnesses, he says, there's sometimes a penalty that goes with the witness. Sometimes when you witness for God, you have to suffer a little bit. Amen. Remember that Peter said that where he says, think it not strange about fire trials, he says, insomuch, see, but rejoice insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. Amen. Sometimes when you witness for God, you have to suffer a little bit. He says here, remember on the job how all the men laughed at you because you were a real witness. How in the streets you were made fun of when you give a testimony. Amen. Friends, look, sometimes when you give a testimony, Lord, it's not always an individual that you've got to do battle with. It's not always humans that you got to battle with their things. But who you're really battling with is Satan. It's the devil. That's who and remember that. He's your enemy. That's who you're really fighting against. And he knows how we are as humans. He knows how our mind works. He knows that if he can bring some kind of symptoms, increase some kind of symptoms of sickness, if he can bring something to try to bring doubt to your mind, amen. So, you know, or to try to get you to forget God's word. Look, the Lord fortifies us when we come here. He fortifies us for the battle that we're going to be facing. The thing we need to do is, when we come here, we're not coming here to be entertained. We're not coming here for a social gathering. We are coming here to be prepared for battle. Hallelujah. God has given us battle instructions when we come here. He knows what we battle with. He knows what we go through. And he comes and he ministers right to those very things. And he tells you what you need to do. He tells you how you need to think. He tells you how you need to believe. Because he's telling you how you can overcome. Many times what we want God to remove the situation. We want God to remove the battle. Friends, we don't get any relief from this battle until the rapture comes. You're not going to get any relief from the battle of your health until the body change. When you come and get prayed for something, then you go forth and believe God. The devil is going to come and battle you over that. He's going to come and say, don't you still feel this pain? I thought you went up and got prayed for that pain. But that pain is still there. But friends, don't listen to that. That pain's not real. What's real is God's word. That's just the devil trying to work on your mind. And he comes to afflict your body. You know, the devil can afflict your mind and cause nerve pains. Those pains seem real, but all it is nerves. And the reason they're there is because the devil is battling your mind. He tries to take situations that you're facing and get and shake your faith. We trust in God from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year to take care of us. But the devil tries to present us with circumstances. He tries to present us with finances. He tries to present us with many things to try to get us to not trust God. So you begin to scramble around in your mind when you listen to that. You begin to scramble around your mind to try to figure out, what am I going to do? And you get all tore up because really in the back of your mind you realize there's nothing you can do yourself. You can't change the situation. Hallelujah. But when you're faced with the battle, that just proves you're a true witness. That proves your testimony is true. Amen. Notice, Brother Branham said, you testify, then the fiery trial comes. And every man that a witness for God will have to go through fiery trials. Isn't it strange how God leads his people? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. I won't read all of this chapter of scripture, but just a couple of verses here, and then I'll just preach from the rest. In verse 2, and I may not be able to pronounce all these names of these places just right, but you just bear with me. Speaking to the children of Israel, that they turn in a camp before Pharaoh, between Migdol and the sea against Beelzebub. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land and the wilderness has shut them in. Now this is after the children of Israel have left Egypt. And God takes and intentionally leads them down to what looks like a dead end. He leads them intentionally right down to something that appears like he's led them into a trap. Because then God moves on Egypt to come after him. And then so Pharaoh says, what in the world have I done? Look at this. I've let them go. They served us. They worked for us. We've got to go get them back. I don't know what I was thinking, what I've done. Look, friends, he forgot what all had happened to him. He forgot about all the plagues that had struck Egypt. And why? Because God brought that about. God's what made Pharaoh forget those things. God's what made Pharaoh begin to think, I've got to go after them. And the reason God did that is because he wanted to bring the children of Israel down to a place where it looked like they were trapped, that there was no way out. You know, it's a strategy of war to try to make the enemy think that you're hurting and retreating so that they can so that it will draw the enemy in after you in pursuit. All generals of wars and world wars that's happened and civil wars that's happened. There's been many times that the way they wanted to defeat the enemy was by bringing the enemy in, thinking that the enemy thinking, I've got the upper hand. And so the enemy comes in, and then the trap that it looked like that they were in, actually the enemy's the one that's been ensnared and trapped. And so God purposely brought the children of Israel down here and said, go camp there by the sea. No way of escape. Pharaoh comes in behind him with all of his armies and his chariots and the horses and so on. And when he comes in behind him, they can't go back that way because he's there and he'll kill them. And they can't go far because the sea's there and they can't make it through that. But God said, he said, then remember, when that happened, the children of Israel, the Bible says, they grew sore afraid. Now watch their mind. When they got in this situation, now remember, God led them there. But when they got in that situation, see, they began to doubt when they saw Pharaoh and his armies before, you know, behind them in the Red Sea before, they began to doubt. And they began to say to Moses, why did you bring us out here? Were there no graves in Egypt? We'd have been better off back there serving for the Egyptians than dying out here. See, they begin to doubt already God's word. But Moses held fast to God's word. What was God's word? That he was going to bring them out with a mighty hand. The thing about it was, friends, once the plagues had hit Egypt and Pharaoh had said, let them go, and they left, that wasn't the end of God's mighty hand of bringing them out. God wanted to totally get honor, he said, upon Pharaoh and upon his horses and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. God didn't want to just deliver them from Egypt. He wanted to deliver them from Pharaoh forever. God wanted not only to bring them out of the situation of bondage they were in, but he wanted to annihilate Pharaoh. And in order to do this, he had to bring Pharaoh out there and make it look like the children of Israel were trapped. And then we know that Moses tells them, he says, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. And he says, for the Egyptians, so you've seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then he said, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Go forward. Where were they going to go? The sea was there. Tells Moses, stretch out the rod that's in their hand, and I'm going to part the sea, and the children of Israel are going to walk through on dry land. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. There's many times we've got our back up against the sea of terror, and Satan breathing right down our necks, but God's going to part the way that you can have a way through it. It was their trial. And because Moses held fast to his profession, held fast to the testimony of the Lord, God parted the waters and something impossible happened. The waters were held back by what? The Bible says he did it by the nostrils of God's breath. Waters were held back. And friends, it said they would walk through on dry land. So not only did God pull the waters back, but the land was dry where the water had been. You think about their wagons and everything else that they had to be going through there. If it was still a soft bottom, which the water would have caused it to be, they would have bogged down. But it was dry. Hallelujah. And then, you know, God had the cloud that was leading them come and stand between them and Pharaoh, so that it was a cloud of darkness to Pharaoh and his armies, but it was a cloud of light to the children of Israel. The Bible says, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked upon the host of Egyptians through their pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels. Their chariot wheels began to fall off. You know, when I was in the army, for a time that I was in the army, I was a driver, and I drove the commander. And one of the things that we had to do on our vehicles was what they call preventative maintenance. And you checked over everything on the normal things. You know, you checked your oil, you checked everything, you checked your tires, you checked everything to prevent them from breaking down. You didn't wait for them to break down and say, oh, now we got to fix them. You were trying to prevent them from breaking down so that they would be ready in the time of battle. They would be ready in the time of use. So I'm going to tell you something, friends. No doubt Pharaoh had men that did preventative maintenance upon these chariots. How amazed they were that for no reason at all that they could see or make sense of, the wheels started falling off. And they drave them so heavily that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And then God told Moses, stretch forth your hand. In the waters which God had parted, he had begun to come and crash behind Israel as they're marching out. They began to crash behind them and crash on Pharaoh's army and drowned them. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. In the message of conference, Brother Branham says, you, right in the line of duty, you'll hit the blockade. He said, here was Moses and Israel right in the line of duty with the pillar of fire leading them and led them right down into a trap. God likes to get his people in traps to see what they'll do. Friends, look, God will let the devil come and plague you and battle your mind and battle your senses and battle your feelings to see what you're going to do about it. Say, what do I do about it? Stand fast. Hold fast your testimony. Hold fast to God's word. Stand there and believe it. Friends, look, Satan tries to get you to believe what he's saying. But God's word has power over him. Don't believe him. The devil says, you still feel this pain. You still have this symptom. Don't believe them. They're lying vanities. It's the devil's lies. Hallelujah. He said, every son that cometh to God must first be tried and chastened. He gets them there. He brings you here. He puts you between opinions. Now, he puts you in a trap to see what kind of a decision you're going to make. Mess of redemption and completeness and joy. Brother Bram said, that's the way God does things. He lets you come right down to the last minute. Then show you what he can do about it. He loves to do that. He loves to surprise his people. He loves to surprise his people. That's the reason God lets us come to the end of the road sometimes. Friends, look, this is one of the quotes that came up Thursday while I was studying for rendering due benevolence, rendering due love, showing love and respect. And I was looking at love for a husband, love for a wife, and that. And while I'm searching for that, this comes up. Because Brother Branham takes this and he ties us in how that God likes to surprise his people. He says, God loves to surprise his people. He says, just like you husbands want to surprise your wife on her birthday and you'll get her something and hold it back so that you can surprise her with it later. That's what God does. Sometimes God holds it back so he can surprise you with it. He loves to surprise his people. That's the reason God would let us come to the end of the road sometime. Because he loves us and wants to prove his supernaturalness of his power. Because he loves us, that's the reason he does it. He just lets us get right down to the place where we're just about ready to make the last step. Where it looks like, well, nothing's happened. I've been trusting God and nothing's happened. Nothing's changed. Seems like things have gotten only worse. Situation has gotten only tighter. And you're about ready to make the last step, Brother Ram says, then he steps in the scene. Friends, if he didn't do it that way, there would be times you thought you did it. God has to bring you down many times to places to where you realize there is nothing in your ability to get yourself out of the situation that you're in. You've done everything you could do. You've exhausted every effort that you had. And then he comes on the scene. He said, he let the Hebrew children walk right down to the fiery furnace. Look, God, they were standing on God's word, friends. God could have come down at any time. God could have supernaturally came down and picked them up and then disappeared out of there. That would have been a testimony of God's power. But God wanted the Hebrew children to stand fast on their profession. He let them come. He could have delivered many times, but friends, look, remember, it says, when we play the trumpet, then you bow down and worship, and if you don't bow down and worship, we're going to throw you into the fiery furnace. The trumpet played. They had to stand on their profession. They said, O King, we don't got to take counsel. Whether God delivers us or not, we're not going to bow. One thing's for sure, if he doesn't deliver us out of the fire furnace, he's going to deliver us out of your hand. This sickness, say, it's on me till death. Well, one thing's for sure, if you die, you're going to be in God's presence in the next few moments. So if he doesn't deliver you out of that, he's going to deliver you out of the hands of Satan, that's for sure. He let them, you know, friends, look, he didn't come down and deliver them when they were fixing to throw them in. He actually let them get thrown in. Get thrown right into the fiery furnace that had been heated up so hot that the men that were throwing him in died from the heat. He let them walk right into the fiery furnace, Brother Ram said, but there was a fourth man standing there with a fan keeping the flames off of them. He's always there. He never leaves. He's always near. The angel of the Lord encamp about those who fear him. Satan tries to prove to you God's not there. If God was there and he really cared about you, the symptoms you have would be gone. The situation that you're facing, you'd be delivered from it. It would be gone. He would remove the situation. God lets you go through the situations. And you hold fast to your testimony that he's going to bring you through. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Many times when you're in the midst of it, you look at it and there's no way in your mind that you can reason how in the world is this going to come out good. Everything gets to looking worse and worse and worse and worse. And you're wondering how in the world this, what I'm going through, what I'm facing, what I'm feeling, how can this be for my good? That's his word. So you hold fast to that. It's no matter how bad it looks, you hold fast to it's going to work out for your good. Friends, look, our victory is not the relief of tomorrow. Our victory is not the relief of the next hour. Our victory is a body change. Our victory is a rapture. Our victory is we're going to be caught up. Hallelujah. That's going to be our victory. Hallelujah. And we're going to battle it the whole time we're here in this flesh on this earth. Because Satan knows how to inflict you in this flesh. He knows how to inflict you in your mind. Hallelujah. When you love God, Brother Branham says, all fear just scatters everywhere. In the message of perfect faith, he says, perfect faith is pure. It's something real. It's a substance. It's an evidence. It's a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is your evidence, not your symptoms being relieved, not your situation being removed. That's not your evidence. Your evidence is your faith, that you stand there on God's word. Now, Satan is going to try everything he can to try to shake your faith. And he tries to shake it by bringing doubt to you. And he tries to intensify the situation you're in. He tries to intensify the symptoms that you're feeling to get you to doubt. He said faith is something real. You can't show it to somebody else, yet you've got it. He said it's just like love. You love your wife, you love your husband. This is another one of those quotes that came up on Thursday. You love your wife, you love your husband. There's nothing you can take out and show to somebody, but you know it's there, you know you do. And he says, and your actions prove it. When you got pure, unadulterated faith, like your love is to your companion, then you prove it by the way you act. You ain't complaining no more. Oh my, remember that message on, and then they complained? Hallelujah. Quit complaining. We're in the midst of a situation. We're in the midst of a dark time. And instead of sitting around complaining about it, have faith that God is going to bring you through it, that it's going to work out for your good, for your best. God's got your best interest at mind. He loves you. Hallelujah. You ain't complaining no more. You know it's done. Just walk along. Friends, I'm going to tell you, sometimes in the face of things, it's hard to put one step in front of another. You've got things you've got to do in this life. You've got maybe tasks that and chores that you carry out of work that you carry out from day to day throughout the week. You've got things you've got to do, and you're faced with a situation that just has plagued your mind, and it's bearing on your mind every second of the day. It's right there in the back of your mind. Everything that comes up, Satan turns and twists it around to make you remember, to make you think about the situation. And it seems like there's no escape from it. And yet you've got to say, well, I've got to go to work anyway. I've got to take out the trash anyway. I've got to mop the floor anyway. I've got to do the dishes anyway. I've got to, in my case, I got to take care of the dogs anyway. Somebody's got to do it, and you're the somebody. You've got to keep going. Just keep walking, no matter what the thing looks like. What anybody says, you know what's happened. You know that it's finished. Just as well as you know you love your husband, as well as you know you love her. See, the love and faith has to go together. They're kinfolks. Love produces faith. Brother Branham says in the Message of Expectations, he says, testify means to say the same thing. When I testify, he said, it's to say the same thing that God said. And you've got to say what he said. He said, by his stripes, I'm healed. I believe it. He said, the word of God will defeat Satan anywhere, any place, on any conditions, any time. Now, it's not a matter of repetition of repeating something of God's word to try to work yourself up into something mentally. It's believing it, holding fast in the face of everything, believing God. Hallelujah. Brother Branham tells this story in calling Jesus on the scene. He says there was this 14-year-old boy that was dying in the hospital of black diphtheria, and said the parents of this boy said if they could just get Brother Branham to come and pray for him, they knew their son would. And the situation kept getting worse. And his heart rate kept going down. And the doctor says, he's dying. That's all there is to it. The nurse said, he's dying. I've never seen anyone come back from this. But the man and his wife said, if we can just get the prophet here to pray for him, God will heal him. And that's what they believed. So they called on Brother Branham. And Brother Branham said he went down there and he says, I prayed a simple little prayer. Sometimes we think that it's going to take some kind of great big prayer. We come up here for prayer to be prayed for a situation or a sickness or something we're going through, and we're expecting God to come down and a great big anointing to come on the prayer and an anointing to strike us and the power of God to strike us. But sometimes it's just a simple prayer. Why? Because it's just speaking God's word. And what do? Just simply take him at his word. He said it was, I prayed just a simple little prayer. Lord Jesus, I trust you to raise up this boy on the basis of the faith of this father and mother. And I laid my hands on the little fella, and he had been unconscious for about 3 days, I believe, and just barely breathing. And he said, then I said, amen. And when I did, the old father took the mother in his arms and said, listen to his testimony. Think of it, honey, our boy is healed. Whew. Hallelujah. Amen. There, he prayed a simple prayer. And then the father's testimony was, think of it, honey, our boy's healed. Not God's going to heal him. Our boy's healed. He was still unconscious. His breathing was still shallow. He was still dying. But his testimony was, think of it, honey, our boy is healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said, and there was no sign of it at all. No sign of it at all. Nothing changed. His breathing didn't change. Nothing happened instantly. Why? Because this father had to hold fast to his profession. He had to hold fast to his testimony. And so Satan sends the nurse over there. And she says, sir, I'm afraid you don't understand. She says, the boy is dying. The man said, oh no, the boy's going to live. The nurse rebuked him and said, how can you act like that? You know your boy is dying, and under such a false impression as you've been given. He said, there's no false impression. She said, look. She said, I've never before in history, if a heart ever got that low, for it to ever revive again. See, the devil trying to point him something that this is reality. That's not reality. Reality is God's word. Reality is God's promise. The situation, look friends, the shallow breathing, him unconscious, nothing changing, that was not reality. Reality was our boy's healed. That was what reality was. And he says, I'll never forget the old man's look. Said he walked up and put his hand on the little nurse's shoulder, and he said, sister, said, see, you're looking at that chart. That's all you know to look at. But said, I'm looking at a divine promise. The devil tries to get you to look at the situation. He tries to get you to look at your symptoms. He tries to get you to look at how you're feeling. But you look at the divine promise. I am Jehovah Rapha. That's a divine promise. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am your shepherd. I'm going to take care of you. You won't want for anything. That's a divine promise. Hallelujah. Brother Ram said, now that's the same faith that said, if you'll come lay hands upon my child. In the Bible, if you'll just speak the word, my servant will be healed. That's something you have. That wasn't a put-on act. The old fellow believed that. He got a hold of something. I'll tell you something, friends. Whenever you really get a hold of something, something anchors. When you first make your testimony, you haven't got a hold of something yet. You know when you get a hold of something? In the midst of the battle. You standing, holding fast to your testimony, and you just hold fast there. And as you keep holding fast, you'll get a hold of something. Hallelujah. He had got a hold of something. Now look, it was in the midst of the battle. He's battling here. The devil's trying to bring doubt, but he's holding fast. And he said, it was like the woman that touched his garment. If I but touch his garment, I'll be healed. That's it. You must grasp a hold of that faith down in your heart. He said, it's just like with your wife. You love her and you don't know why, but you love her. It's another one of those quotes that came up to me on Thursday while I was studying. And if you've met that person you know you love and there's something in there, you know you love them. Well, that's the same thing about faith. You know it's going to happen. There's not a shadow, no matter how many say contrary, you still believe the same thing because that's genuine, real, genuine faith. This week, you remember Sunday, I gave testimony concerning my mental battle, concerning how I believe God had healed me, and how that I was coming off the medications. Friends, I felt real anointed on Sunday, and I felt real good. And I went out of there and started coming off the rest of the medications I was on, even without the doctor's orders, because I believed. And then Sunday night came, and what a battle. When it come time to go to bed, I tried to lay down, and I tried to put my CPAP machine on, and as I laid down, all of a sudden, I felt like I was suffocating. Air blowing right in my face from that CPAP machine, and I felt like I was suffocating. And I felt like a great pressure was just crushing down upon me, and the darkness seemed to make it, of the room seemed to make it worse and intensify what I was feeling. And I sat up out of bed real quick and jerked the mask off, and I was gasping for air and trying to breathe. And it was such a real battle. And I tried to lay down again, and the same thing happened. And it felt like I could tell what it was. It was anxiety. I could tell that it was a panic attack trying to come on me to make me panic. But I just kept believing. But it didn't make it go away. And so I couldn't go to sleep, and so I stayed up later, and I laid on the side of the bed, and I just laid there awake, and I couldn't go to sleep, and I stood there until I got so exhausted that I believe I fell asleep from utter exhaustion. And I got up the next morning, and it was not gone. All week long, and the devil was situations the devil was trying to plague my mind over, and he was trying to get me to doubt. He brought thoughts to my mind. Maybe you shouldn't have come off that medication. Maybe you need to go back on that medication. I had nerve pains and things that was just running all over my body Sunday night. Monday morning, getting up, like I said, it seemed like there was a pressure on me. All day long, all week long, I kept going around gasping for breath, trying to breathe. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, please deliver me. Please help me feel better. Please give me some relief. And there was no relief. It seemed to get worse. I asked my wife to pray for me. I got a hold of my mom and my brother and asked them to pray for me. And then I went to bed Monday night. Monday night was a little better, but I still had to stay up, and I went to sleep. Then Tuesday night I went to bed, and then Wednesday night, again, it attacked me just like it had on Sunday, and I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't get that feeling shook off of me. And I stayed up. I stayed up till about 11:30 at night trying to go to sleep, knowing I was going to have to get up early the next morning. I got things I got to do early in the morning. I can't just say, I'll just sleep in today and I won't get up and take care of them. I got to take care of them. Then Thursday, I was battling with all this this in my mind when I sat down to study, and I didn't feel like studying. But I sat down and I made myself anyway. And then I came under the anointing of the Lord to study. And while I was studying for Thursday night, while I was looking up quotes about loving your wife and loving your husband and so on, in there began to come up these quotes, many of them that I've went through today for Sunday. And so I started working on Sunday's notes and Thursday notes at the same time because I couldn't just leave one and go to the other. Because they were both just seeming simultaneously, just kept coming. And so I was working on both notes and going back and forth between them. And mentally this going on, at the same time Satan battled me mentally. At the same time sitting there going, gasping for air. And feeling this attack on my body and on my mind. My mind scrambling, well, if this or if that or if this or if that. But I pressed right on through because I know I had to come here and minister. So I come here, I got anointed on Thursday night, I ministered. I mentioned and gave testimony to a couple about how that I had fought that day and how that the Lord had blessed me and given me something to bring on Sunday, that out of this battle that I had been facing all week, it was God letting me go through it to give me something to bring to the church, to share with the church. Friday, I couldn't go to bed early on Thursday. I was up late. I got up on Friday. I got up and I took care of the dogs and was so exhausted. I went back to bed for a little while. And then I got up and had to go on with the things that I had to do. And I didn't eat any breakfast. And I didn't eat until so much later. And then by then, I didn't feel like fixing my breakfast. And so I just ate a ham sandwich. And then, you know, my wife, then that afternoon, she fixed me something to eat. And some of the grandchildren were there. And they were there. And then their parents come to pick them up, and everybody was talking, and my nerves were shot, and I couldn't, it seemed like my mind wouldn't let me distinguish between what one was saying and another was saying to hear anybody. It was just like a roar in my head. And I was sitting there, and I kept saying, Lord, I need some relief. I need some relief. And I tried to go to bed Friday night. And it was there again. I felt like I was suffocating. I felt like I couldn't breathe. And Satan just battering my mind. You need to go back on that medication. See what's happening to you. And friends, when you begin to feel anxiety like that, you just want relief. And a human will do almost anything to get that relief. Your mind will scramble for relief. All kinds of thoughts will go through your head. And then there's no relief coming, and everything feels hopeless. And I couldn't go to sleep Friday night. And I didn't fall asleep till sometime between 11 and midnight. And then on Saturday mornings, we get up early because we go out grocery shopping early on Saturdays. And then, you know, you've got things you've got to do, so there's no time to lay back down, really. And, you know, I knew I had to get up early because I had to take care of my dogs before I left to go to the store. And so I ended up getting up about 10 minutes till 4 in the morning after not sleeping more than about 3, maybe 4 hours. And I got up and I was exhausted. And the feeling was still there. And all day Saturday, I told my wife, I said, I feel like there's something sitting on my chest. I feel like there's a great weight while I was walking around, it felt like as if you had laid down somewhere and somebody had put a very heavy weight on your chest that wouldn't let your lungs expand to breathe. And I kept gasping for breath all day. And I'd gasp for breath and then I would sigh. And I would ask the Lord to relieve me. But there was no relief that came. And so that afternoon, I text my mom and I told her what I had been battling. And I said, I've been battling it all week. And I said, I'm battling today. And I told her, I said, there's a weight on my chest, it seems like. And it's making it feel hard to breathe. And I'm gasping for air. Friends, that all seemed real. But I'm going to tell you, it wasn't real. I'm here to testify to you this morning, and I've got proof it wasn't real. It felt real. There was thoughts that went through my mind. You need to go to the hospital. You need to have doctors check you out. You need something. There was thoughts went through my mind. You need to call up your daughter, Jessica. Have her come and check your heart rate. Have her come and check this and have her come and check that. But I text my mom and I said, this is on me. And I said, I'm having trouble breathing. I haven't slept in days. And there was a fear resting on me because I hadn't slept in days. And I dreaded bedtime last night. And while I was sitting there, she texted me back and said, my brother was preaching out of town this weekend, and she had sent the request and what I had said on to him. And so he went to prayer. And my mom was praying, and we were praying. And then the Lord laid a quote on my brother's heart, and they sent it to me. And while I was reading the quote, I was still gasping for breath. Here's the quote. It's in the message of healing what cancer is. Brother Ram said, a woman come up here with a cancer. And all at once something strikes her and she says, oh, I see it. The Holy Spirit reveals what's wrong with her and tells her what she's done and what she has to do to get rid of it and everything. And then pronounces God's blessing upon her, and away she goes, and she's believing with all her heart, and she feels good. I felt good on Sunday after I preached and testified. Said she feels good. Then she goes home, she starts eating, and then in a few days she begins to get sick. The doctor said, didn't I tell you to stay away from that bunch of fanatics? Then she begins to get sick. Now listen to what Brother Branham says about what she's feeling. And that's the very best sign in the world, the woman's healed. When I read that, and I thought of the battle I'd been through all week, friends, I'm going to tell you, it seemed real that I couldn't breathe. I was gasping for breath. And the attack on me seemed real. But when I read that was the very best sign that it's healed, that weight went off of my chest. My breath was restored. I could breathe again. I got up and went immediately and got my computer and added this quote to my notes. And then I read it to my wife and testified of it. And I said, and the feeling's gone. And I texted my mom back. And I said, when I read this, I said, immediately the weight lifted off my chest. Immediately I could breathe. Immediately it was gone. You know what's real? That's what was real. God's word was real. Satan was trying to get me to doubt my healing. He was trying to get me to think what I was feeling and my symptom was real. And it felt real. You know how I know it's not real? Because it went away at God's word. It lifted instantly. Brother Benham said, when you love God, all fears will just scatter. When you say, God, you're right, I love you, and I'm healed, and just go on and take it. everything can happen spontaneously if you just believe it. At that moment, I got a hold of something and believed it, and it happened instantly. It happened spontaneously. But I had to battle all week long. And I'm going to tell you something. It was not pleasant. It was torment. I grew physically and mentally weak from it. But God let me battle it so that I could bring this message to you. You may be battling something. You may be facing a situation. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you need your house sold. Maybe you need God to help you in your finances. You just keep believing. In the face of it seeming like everything getting worse, just keep believing. Hold fast to your testimony. Hold fast to God's word. God's word is real. Hallelujah. After Moses and the children of Israel were delivered from Pharaoh's army, hallelujah, they sang and rejoiced and danced. They worshiped God. You know, yesterday evening when bedtime was approaching and here I was under all this pressure and not having a hard time breathing and everything, I told my wife, I said, we'll have prayer together before that I lay down. And so my intention was to have prayer to ask God to relieve me so I could go to sleep, that I had to come and preach today. But instead, my prayer was a thanks to God because he had touched me, because spontaneously the weight was lifted off of my chest and I could breathe. I was delivered spontaneously, instantly. The battles, but you're going to have to battle. You've got to have something to overcome. Blessed is he that overcometh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, Moses, as he's saying, he said, the people, the inhabitants of Palestine, they're going to hear about this. They're going to hear about what God did to the Egyptians, how he destroyed them, and it's going to cause them to fear. Remember when Joshua sent the spies down to Jericho, and when they got there to Jericho, one of the things that Rahab testified us, we have heard of the exploits of your God, and the people, the men, are shaking with fear. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. The devil looks all big and bad, and the demons he sends to torment you, they seem so terrible. But the one thing they fear is faith. Brother Branham talked about in the services how that he says he would see a devil that was on an individual with sickness. And it would raise up and call out to help to other devils because it felt like that person was going to begin to believe. Your faith has power over the enemy. Why? Because your faith is not in your actions or your situations or your feelings. Your faith is in God's word. He said it. I believe it. That settles it. Brother Branham, in all things that are possible to them, believe. He was had a lady before me, said, you believe, lady? If you'll believe with all your heart, God is here to heal you and make you well. You believe that? Have faith in him. Don't doubt. What about all you out there? Are you believing with all your heart? Have faith in God. God will bring it to pass whatever you ask for. I am healed. Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Raha. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. He's with me. It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter if you feel alone. It doesn't matter if you don't feel God. He's there. Hallelujah. He is encamped around about those that fear him. He'll go before you. He is the Lord your banner, Jehovah Nissi. Hallelujah. I'm going to have peace because he is Jehovah Shalom. Hallelujah. That's my testimony. Hallelujah. I'm going to make it through. Why? Because he is Jehovah, my righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to make the rapture. Why? Because he is Jehovah Tesekanu, the Lord, my righteousness. Hallelujah. The devil tries to bring doubt to your mind whether you got the Holy Ghost. He tries to bring doubt to your mind whether you're going to make the rapture. And what does he point you at? He points you at things to make you think they're reality. But there's only one thing that's real, and that's God's word. And he is Jehovah. He is the Lord. Hallelujah. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provideth all of my needs. He provideth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaac said, here's the wood, Father. Here's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? The Lord will provide for himself a sacrifice. And God provided a sacrifice, friends. The devil tries to make you think you're not going to make it. Because he's trying to make you think you're going to die for your mistakes, that you're going to die for your sins. But there was one that came and was the sacrifice for that. He died for your mistakes. He gave his life for your sin. Hallelujah. He became you. We got a high priest who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities because he was in all ways tempted like as we are. He was tried in all ways like as we are. Hallelujah. Perfect faith. Sometimes people think, perfect faith is being able to perform miracles. No. Perfect faith is standing on God's word in the face of the battle. In the face of terror. In the face of the opposition. In the face of the situation. Standing on God's word anyway. Calling the situations a lie. Calling what you're feeling a lie. That's a lie. Friends, the weight that was on my chest and gasping for air, that was all a lie. All week long. What was real was what happened yesterday after I read that quote, that's the best sign in the world you're healed. I was able to go to bed last night and sleep just fine. And when I got up this morning, the situations and things that had plagued my mind all week long, they weren't gone. They weren't gone. The situations were still there. But you know what was different? It wasn't plaguing my mind anymore. You know, we think relief from the situation changing is what's going to bring us relief. That's not what brings you relief. Believing that God's going to take care of it, that's what brings you relief. I'm going to tell you something. I may battle it this week, but I'm not giving up. It may be a different battle that I battle this week, but I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up any ground. Hallelujah. You know, my flesh hopes the situation doesn't get worse. But the situation's not what's going to dictate to me what my faith is. God's going to bring us through. God will bring you through anything you're going through. Hallelujah. And he, friends, look, he brings us here on Sundays and he equips us. He gives us the weapons and tools we need to face the week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God gives us instructions. Maybe we're doing something a certain way and we're failing in a way. And God comes and he just spells right out for us what we've been doing. And he spells right out for us the situation that we're going through. And he spells right out for us the mental battle that we're facing many times. So much so that you wonder, how in the world can Brother Jerry know those things? It isn't Brother Jerry, it's God that knows those things. I'm not trying to give you words of encouragement. God's giving you words of encouragement. My words are nothing. I've been testifying to you not of my word today, but of God's word. Hallelujah. His word is real. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for coming and speaking to us today. I thank you for your mighty works, the works of your hands. Oh God, I thank you for the faith, Lord, that you anchor in our hearts. I thank you for the power of your word, for the reality of your word. Pray, dear God, that you will, Lord, go with your people today when we leave here. Lord, as they face the battle, Lord, this week, may the word, Lord, ring in their hearts and minds and maybe hold fast to their testimony. Lord, that you will come. You are the Lord that delivereth. Hallelujah. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. I'll tell you something, friends. When I got that touch yesterday, Satan trying to attack my mind and say, don't testify of it because the feeling will come back. But I was going to testify of it anyhow because it was real. The devil couldn't make me doubt how real it was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No matter how real he had made that feeling seem to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I knew what was real was what had happened. Hallelujah. And I was going to testify of God's word. And that's what the devil will do. He'll try to make you afraid to testify. Well, if you testify of it, you know a battle's going to come. Let it come. Hallelujah. We're soldiers. Hallelujah. We're in a battle. And we're going to be in a battle as long as we're in this flesh. Hallelujah. asking to be out of the battle. Ask for the faith to overcome.